Hey, Mujer, it's Micaela, host of the Fearless Mujer podcast. What is the Fearless Mujer? It is a space for the mujer who ever felt rejected, misunderstood, and without a seat at the table. If you are ready to renew your mindset, let go of old versions that no longer serve you, and you're ready to be inspired to fearlessly pursue the dreams on your heart, then I invite you for a virtual cup of cafecito. You can listen to the Fearless Mujer on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and wherever you podcast.
What's good, everyone? We hope you guys are having a great day so far. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Scaredy Cats podcast. For those of you who are new here, allow us to introduce ourselves. We are your hosts, Sway and Liz, and on this podcast, we talk about true crime, ghost stories, and basically anything scary that you can think of. We're going to talk about it. So if any of that interests you, make sure you guys add us to your favorites and tune in every Wednesday for a brand new episode.
And we also review the latest scary movies. And if you have any stories you'd like us to talk about, please feel free to send those in at any of our social media pages at Scaredy Cats Podcast, and that's Scaredy Cats with the K. But before we go on with today's story, we do want to mention something. I know you've seen it, but for those of you who haven't seen it yet, there's a Thanksgiving scary movie that is actually going to be coming out on Thanksgiving Day, and I definitely think that it's one that people should watch. It's such an odd film, I think, for it to be coming out on Thanksgiving Day.
It is. It's pretty scary. I mean, there's not a lot of scary Thanksgiving movies.
Yeah.
And so I think this one's, it looks pretty interesting.
It looks like funny almost, like in an odd way. So I definitely do want to watch it. I can't remember who said it. Someone did say that it was pretty gory.
Yeah, it looks gory.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to be checking that movie out on Thanksgiving Day, and then we will be doing a review on it on next week's episode, so definitely stay tuned for that. We also do want to talk about our TikTok page, how we're growing and everything like that. You guys should definitely follow us. Like we said, Sway likes to say it's our non-true crime side of us, so if any of that interests you, definitely follow us on our TikTok pages.
We're starting like a challenge that we're doing for ourselves. It's daily vlogging for the next 100 days. It's so crazy because we're almost halfway. We're almost at 50 days.
Yeah.
So it's honestly been such a fun journey, you know. It's something that we've never done before. We've never vlogged on YouTube. We've never even done any kind of vlogging on TikTok till now.
Yeah.
And I kind of got inspired by an upcoming TikToker as well. His name is Jack Cook.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Lo were like my inspirations of wanting to vlog. But I always told Liz, like, I'm like, I don't feel like our life is as interesting to vlog. And when I would go back and study, you know, these guys' pages, I'll look at them and I'm like, they're not showing anything interesting. They're literally just recording clips throughout their day. They make it look good by, you know, doing colors and all that, and then just voice, like, finding a way to story tell it. I think it's the main thing. You don't have to do anything fancy with your life.
Yeah.
You don't even have to be like a big creator to, like, you know, oh, I'm collabing with this person and integrating that into a vlog. You can literally just be a normal person and just vlog, but it all comes down to the way you tell it, you know, the way you voice over it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really inspired us to start doing the daily vlog. So like I said, we're almost halfway there. So check out our TikTok. It's Sway and Liz, and tune into the daily vlogs.
And before the year ends, we definitely do want to reach our goal of getting 100K followers on TikTok. So join us along with that. Last topic I do want to talk about is, of course, Thanksgiving. It's literally here. I just want to ask you what you're thankful for this year.
I'm honestly thankful for all the growth we've had so far on our platforms. 2023 was a very hard year for me personally, because I was too caught up and like the results, and never really looking back and seeing how the podcast has grown on its own, how our pages are actually growing. And so I kind of like forgot about that. And so now to like look back on it, I'm really grateful for the growth, and I'm grateful for the hard work we've put in, and for every single one of you that tunes in on Wednesdays, for you guys to take the time out of your day, even if it's, you know, like we do 20, 15 minute episodes, for you guys taking that time and listening to our podcast. I'm really grateful for that.
Same here. I definitely think it's been an amazing journey so far, and just having this podcast for a year, we definitely hit so many different milestones in this career of ours that we started. So I'm definitely thankful for that. That's really nice. Yeah. I just want to say, so
how about you?
Honestly, I'm just thankful to be here and to be alive, especially with everything going on in the world. I definitely think that every day we live is something that we should never take for granted. So I'm thankful every day that I wake up and like my family's healthy, you're healthy, everything's going good, everything's going just as planned with our careers, even though, you know, some days we have everybody has their days. But I feel like if you are healthy, you're alive, and you wake up, that's another day to be thankful for. So that's the way I see it. But with all that being said, we do want to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving. If you're listening to this on Thanksgiving Day, this is going to be a creepy episode. So let's just begin. So this is something I wanted to tell you. I want to do this, you know, episode a little different because I wanted you to be intrigued and on edge. So let me just explain to you this story. Let's just say this house is known as the Demon's House. It's known to have had over 200 demons in their basement.
That's scary.
It is very terrifying.
So you're like, you're telling the scaredy cats, and then you're telling me a story.
Okay. Yes. So a little story time. Yes. So guys, on November 11th, the Amons family moved into a rental house in Gary, Indiana. It was Rosa Campbell, who was the grandmother, along with their daughter, Latoya, and her three children, ages 7, 9, and 12. It's kind of like a small house with only one story. It's white on the outside and has a few windows pointing towards the street. It has about like 5 elongated windows. Mm-hmm. And at times they claim that around December, it would get really cold, obviously, you know, because it's December time. But somehow there were still flies swarming around, which was odd for it being the winter time because, like anybody knows, when it's summertime, flies are around. When winter comes, the flies are gone.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird that these flies are swarming around, right?
And usually they start disappearing like mid-November.
Exactly.
So if they're there in December, that's kind of odd. Like, how'd you survive the cold weather?
Yeah, exactly. So the grandmother of the Amons family, known as Rosa, would say they would continuously kill the flies, but somehow more and more kept coming. So as time goes by, they would occasionally hear footsteps that sounded loud and heavy climbing up the stairs, and then slowly the door sounded like it would creak open. So imagine, like, you put yourself in that position. You're sleeping, you know, everyone's sound asleep, nobody's awake, but sometimes you'd hear heavy footsteps. What would be the first thing you do?
I don't even know. I would definitely go like peek around the corner and check what the heck's going on.
Yeah.
But I'm a very light sleeper, so that's like the most scariest thing that I could ever imagine, like just being like asleep. Everybody in your house is asleep, and then you hear, say if you keep your door closed, you hear your door creaking open. Like that has to be the most terrifying feeling.
It is. And what's funny is my first instinct is to cover myself with my blanket. Like that's going to help me. I don't know.
It is, guys. Every time she gets scared and she's like mid-sleep, she'll just barricade herself under the blankets.
I do. But I don't know. I just feel like it makes me feel safer. Anywho, this was a door. This door that would creak open was the door in the kitchen that would lead down to the basement. So the odd thing is nobody was ever there every time this would occur. They would lock the door, but still the same sounds would echo in the house, sometimes getting louder and louder. So the footsteps would sound heavier, you know, and of course the door wouldn't creak because it was locked. But imagine all those crazy sounds that they were hearing down there, because it's, like I said, it's said to have had over 200 demons down there.
That's scary.
Imagine how much like paranormal activity was going on. But one night, Latoya recalled waking up to a shadowy figure of a man running in the living room. So as anyone would, she jumped out of bed to see who it was, and the only thing that was there was these large wet boot prints. So there was tracks of them throughout the house. This left her very uneasy, and from here on out, so many paranormal things would happen to the family where it became kind of like a torment to them, you know? That's a lot of demons.
That is.
I'm just gonna say, guys, 200. It's 200 demons.
One is enough. Yeah. You know, one can torment everybody, but
200? That's like sleepless nights. Exactly. Yeah. So fast forwarding to March 10th in 2012, this is when the Amons family had a rude awakening, because around 2 a.m., their 12-year-old daughter was found levitating above her bed unconscious. The only thing they can think of doing was to pray. So they prayed and prayed until finally she woke from the possession. I think it's like, you know, she was about to be possessed if she was levitating. But when I read that, it reminded me of The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
That scene is so insane.
It is so terrifying. Yes, it definitely is. But she fell to the bed and had no memory of what had happened. And another incident occurred where the oldest son was thrown across the room by an unknown force. And at one point, the youngest of the three allegedly had his eyes rolled to the back of his head, growling and saying, "It's time to die and I will kill you." Yes. Mm-hmm. And what's crazy is that part, there was like nurses and like CPS and psychiatrists that actually overheard him saying that. Mm-hmm. And they said sometimes when he'd be growling at them, he would speak Latin.
That's scary.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying. But
that is. That kind of reminds me of that one part in the newest Exorcist movie when they're like tied up in the living room.
Yeah.
And then they're saying like such weird stuff. Yeah. Like that movie, it wasn't as scary, but it was just disturbing to watch.
It's a good word to use. But obviously, with these events occurring, the family knew something evil lied in the house. So the mother reached out to their physician for help. When their physician visited, he noted that they were delusional and he believed that they were hallucinating. I guess, like, from his point of view, I don't know.
An outsider's perspective.
Yeah, maybe I'd say the same thing, but I'd still be like, okay, let me go ahead and weigh out everything, you know? But since the children also had a history of bad attendance at school, Rosa blamed it on demonic activities, and she was also behind on the lease, but would still claim that because of the paranormal activities, she would not pay rent. Which I don't blame her, because, like, if I'm in a house and all this stuff is, like, messing with me, it doesn't feel like a home. It's just like
it would have been nice to know before they moved in.
Exactly, but the landlord actually claimed that nobody ever had these issues, so it made everyone believe it was just a hoax and she was making this up. So when the psychologist would ask the children questions, they believed that they were acting deceptively according to their mom's beliefs, and that the youngest son would act possessed in order to avoid answering questions. So like they'd ask him, like, okay, like, what's going on with you? Like, are you okay? Like, is your mother doing anything? Are you in a bad situation? But he'd just start like growling and making a little sounds, and they're like, okay, like, something's going on. So someone from the office contacted the police, and they took the kids to the hospital. The older son was said to have been acting rationally, you know, he was kind of okay, but the youngest of the kid would scream and thrash out. So they alerted child services because they believed something odd was happening to the kids. It made everyone concerned for the children's safety with their mother and their grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Kind of also reminds me, this story just keeps reminding me of like certain paranormal stories, kind of like the Conjuring. I think it was like The Haunting in Connecticut or something like that. It's based on the Conjuring 2 movie.
Okay,
when those two girls get possessed and like the doctors and stuff believe like they're just making this up. So then like Ed and Lorraine go over, and then she starts like making some weird voice and laughing,
and she's supposed to be levitated.
It kind of reminds me of that, because during that time is when Ed and Lorraine, that everybody was saying like, you know, they're a hoax, they're lying, like they're just these goofballs trying to say that the paranormal is real.
Which I feel like for Ed and Lorraine, that's a tough situation.
Yeah,
because like you can see these things, but people aren't believing you for it, which is crazy.
Yeah,
but when someone from child services finally was contacted, they made a meeting to come to the house for this case. However, the most bone-chilling thing happened, and this part creeped me out the most. Are you ready to hear this part? This is like insane, but allegedly CPS watched the youngest son walk up the wall backwards and then landed on his feet.
Heck no.
How?
If I was a CPS worker, I would be traumatized for
life. And obviously, this left everyone in shock. So when the police captain known as Charles Austin was told, he believed at this point paranormal activity was happening in the house, which I don't blame him, because how the heck, CPS, and like I think it was a nurse or someone from the hospital was there as well. They all saw this, and there's actually an 800 pages of like documenting all the stuff that would happen and everybody who witnessed it. So this lady didn't seem so crazy after all, you know?
I mean, to me, it sounds legit, because if there's this many witnesses claiming the same thing and an 800 page report,
that's,
you know,
a lot of,
or 800 however words, I forgot what you said, but that's pages. That's insane. Yeah. Like, that's creepy.
It is. So the family eventually hired an exorcist. He then went out and interviewed the family on April 22nd, 2012, and concluded that they were indeed being tormented by demons. So he would then go on to perform 3 exorcisms. 2 of them were in English and 1 was in Latin. And I couldn't figure out like why 2 of them were in English and 1 in Latin. Maybe I'm thinking like the youngest son needed like 1 in Latin because it was probably the most powerful like demon that was like possessing this kid, because he seemed to have done a lot more than the other kids.
I wonder why, when it comes to a lot of like possessions or stuff like that, a lot of people, well, that I've seen or like stories that I've read, a lot of people start talking in Latin. I wonder why.
I don't know. I feel like it has something to do with the Bible.
Because you know in the Exorcist movie, the newest one too, they kind of like start talking in Latin, and then
other languages.
There's other, the nun, they were like talking in Latin.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I'm not sure, but I feel like it has something to do with the Bible.
Probably.
And I don't know, guys. I'm not like super religious, so I don't know about this, so sorry if I sound like a goof, but I feel like it has something to do with the Bible. But after this, the family was finally at peace, and whatever was haunting them was finally lifted. But until this day, nobody knows what took over this family, but it is believed that the house they lived in was a portal for over 200 demons. And the police chief of the Gary Police Department said he initially thought that Indianapolis resident Latoya Ammons and her family concocted an elaborate tale as a way to make money. So, like, they thought, like, you know, it was all a hoax.
yeah. went famous off of it.
Yes, but after several visits to their home and interviews with witnesses, Austin said simply, "I am a believer," which is insane mm-hmm. because like he's like the freaking head chief of like the police department. Yeah. That's a lot. But now this demon house was taken over by new tenants while the Amons family moved, and they stated that nothing ever happened to them. But there's this picture on the internet of this house where nobody was home, but in the window you could see this tall figure, and I couldn't even look at the picture. Do you want to mm-hmm. see the picture?
Yeah, I can see
okay. picture. I'm scared. So let me just show you this picture. You see it standing in the window?
I do.
Ah, I don't want to look
that
at it.
That house on its own looks weird.
Yeah.
That's like a trippy, like, old-looking little house.
Like, who is that? Right?
Yeah,
like,
that
guys,
looks odd.
Look up this picture. Just look up the exorcisms of LaToya Amons, or, you know, the demon house. And you can see this picture on Google. And, like, let's see. In the right corner of the house, like, there's a figure standing there. I'm gonna take it off. That was yeah. scary. So I don't know, but I do know that the ghost hunters actually went there, and I can't remember the story correctly, but I think they purchased the house for, it was over $35,000 to uh-huh. purchase the house or something, which is really cheap.
That's cheap.
Yeah, but they ended up purchasing the house, and I think he did an episode on it. I didn't get too deep into that part, but I do want to check that out. But this house just seems to be very demonic, mm-hmm. and I don't know if it was the house necessarily though, or the people in general, if it was just attached to them, because if the new tenants moved in, nothing happened to them.
Yeah, I was about to actually say, I wonder what makes these like spirits attach to these families or a yeah. certain individual. Mm-hmm. I wonder what just like causes them to do that kind of stuff, because like you said, the new tenants moved in and they didn't experience anything like haunted, but the other family did.
Exactly. So it was weird.
I wonder if it just like picks and chooses
who, like, I guess the most vulnerable, or maybe, I don't know. I don't
yeah,
know.
It's it kinda, doesn't make it's sense. Pretty interesting.
It is. But overall, guys, that is the end of today's episode. If you guys did enjoy it, let us know by leaving us a review on today's episode.
Yes, guys, we would really appreciate that. But without further ado, catch you guys next episode.
Peace.